Would you all please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our life giver. Amen. Almond cakes. Now, y'all all know about the famous almond cake started by Irene. At the fair just last weekend, over 100 almond cakes were sold and orders were taken for more. Now, when I came here to First Church over 4 years ago now, I wasn't too convinced about this like almond cake frenzy, if you will, that people came from all over for these almond cakes. I kind of questioned it. The lovely golden yellow almond cake with the powdered sugar on top, the almonds sprinkled. You take it out of the freezer and cut off just a piece, thinking that's all you're gonna eat. 5 minutes later, you're back in the freezer again, cutting it again and again. As our area conference minister, Reverend Kogut, said and texted me Friday evening after she got home from buying from the fair one of the delicious almond cakes. She texted, "Can't, period, stop, period, eating, period, almond loaf. It's delicious. I have a problem. Heart emoji." I have bought into these almond cakes. We all love to buy the almond cakes, give them to friends and family, take them home for the holidays. We want to share the deliciousness because it is so good. Come taste and see how good it is. Those who are wondering about these almond cakes, you can see Miss Irene after worship and she'll take your name down and create another list. But what if, my friends, what if we shared with the same excitement our faith? How do you follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you want to know and have a relationship with God? Why do you come here? Think about that. Now, some of you I know come for the beautiful music because it moves you spiritually. Some come to see friends and socialize. Some come to feel good and comforted, while others come to be challenged and pushed to be a better person. Some come to give back to God with thanksgiving. Some come to just grow closer to God. Some come full of questions, unsure if you even belong here or believe in this theology. Others come because they always have and they don't know what they would do if they didn't come. And some come looking for healing and wholeness. Some seeking hope or forgiveness. Why do you come? Is it for the almond cake? But really, why do you come? If you only come for one reason, you're missing the point. You're missing out. The point of community is to learn from each other. Do you know why the person who's sitting next to you or in front of you or behind you, why they come to worship? Why they come to be a part of this community? Ubuntu. I am because we are. Not I am because I am. I am because we are. It's the whole point, the whole spirit of Ubuntu is to gather together to understand and to see each other. Ubuntu starts with recognizing and embracing the humanity, the equality, the value of each person. Ubuntu is a way of life. And Jesus, he started a way of life. Jesus started a movement, not an institution. Jesus did not go out and build with rocks and stones a building and call it a church and said, I am done. No. Jesus had no interest in building a church. Jesus built a movement. And movement is what changes people. An institution, no matter how good it is, it can't love people. Your college, your high school, your church, the building, it can't love you. It's inanimate. It ain't real. A movement, though, does that. The Reverend Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, he shares that Jesus did not establish an institution. Though institutions can serve his cause, he did not organize a political party, though his teachings have had great influence on politics. Jesus did not even found a religion. No, Jesus began a movement, fueled by his spirit, a movement which is to change the face of the earth from the nightmare that is often encapsulating it, moving it towards the dream that God has dreamed for us. That's why, in Jesus' words and in Jesus' invitations, he uses so many active verbs. In John chapter 1, verse 39, Jesus calls his disciples with the words, come and see. Then in Matthew and Mark and Luke, the Gospels, he tells his disciples to follow me. And as we just heard Kathy read, when he sent out his first disciples, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of the present time. In Reverend Curry's book, Following the Way of Jesus, he also identifies several characteristics of this Jesus movement. So there's three. The first characteristic is that the community was Christ-centered, completely focused on Jesus and the way. Now, if you recall, last week I mentioned that the way was how the first followers described what they were doing and who they were. In Acts to the Apostles, the way was what was known for the group. It was their name. And Reverend Curry writes, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, that sweet, sweet Spirit infused their spirit and took over. The second characteristic that Reverend Curry mentions about the movement is that Jesus' followers actually abolished poverty and hunger within their community. They got to work. Now, some might say that poverty was history and that this was a miracle that it happened. It was no miracle. Well, it was a miracle, but it wasn't magic. It was no magic. In Acts to the Apostles, it calls this abolition of poverty one of the signs and wonders of the way, which became an invitation to others to follow Jesus also and to challenge the world. But it didn't take this magic to happen. It took the community coming together. It was a miracle performed by God's people. And the Bible says they simply shared everything they had. Hear the words from Acts. The community of believers was one in heart and mind. None of them would say, "This is mine," about any of their possessions, but held everything in common. The apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. There were no need for needy persons among them. Those who owned properties or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds from the sales, and place them in the care and under the authority of the apostles. Then it was distributed to anyone who was in need. The movement, the Jesus movement, moved them. The third characteristic that Reverend Curry identifies of this way, of the Jesus movement, is that they learned to become more of a collection of individuals rather than their self-interests. They came together. They didn't put forward their own individual ways. Instead, they looked to be a community. They were Ubuntu. I am because we are. They realized that it takes a community of people with different interests, with different needs, with different gifts to follow the Spirit. They knew they each came for a different reason. And they appreciated and respected those reasons, which helped all of them grow closer to God. They were a countercultural movement. Jews and Gentiles, men and women, circumcised and uncircumcised, all with equal respect together. It was a movement. In 1967, Clarence Jordan wrote, "I really don't think we can ever renew the church until we stop thinking of it as an institution and start thinking of it as a movement." We are clinging to an institution when we feel more comfortable and confident sharing about the delicious almond cakes than we are about sharing our faith. Why are you here? Jesus is using action words for us today. Come, follow me, go, teach, baptize, and do likewise. Friends, we are called to share about our faith, about why we are here at the same, greater level than we share about the almond cakes. Imagine if everybody in town, everybody on the Cape, everybody across the bridge knew about your faith like they know about the almond cakes. If they knew why you come, if it's for hope or healing or comfort or that spiritual connection. Imagine how this movement will continue and grow. So why do you come? When you figure out why you come, why you follow Jesus, why you yearn to be closer to God, you'll also discover that heart of Ubuntu. Because Ubuntu is finding that part of you that connects with other people, and it brings it to life. God is in each one of you, you beloved people. God is calling us to share what God has done. And as we discussed last week, we are also called to see through that lens of love, for God is love. That way, we might see God in every person and in everything that we encounter. So today, don't just see love. Don't just look for love. Be love. Share love. And share God. I pray that you might say, "Can't stop seeing God. It's delicious. And I have a problem." May it be so. Amen. Our next